ministry. I've been in the ministry a few years myself, and George Barna and those who survey people in ministry have found that a lot of folks in ministry aren't real happy about it, especially their wives. Before I came to KBC, I was pastoring in Iowa, and our denomination, we went on a pastors and wives retreat, and the district superintendent got all the preachers in one room, and he was pumping us up, and we were talking about church growth, and it was rah, 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 and they had the pastor's wives in another room. And so when the meetings were over, my wife came to me and said, "Honey, you can't believe how many angry pastors' wives there are in this place." So obviously, some people have problems enjoying the ministry. And so here's some pointers. They're not in any particular order. They're not inspired. But they're just some things that have come to my mind, and I hope that something here can be of help. Lord, we do pray that you will help us. Many of us are in the ministry. It's a stressful job, a low-paying job, many hours. And from the world's standpoint, it's not real glamorous. But Lord, you've called us, and it is a tremendous calling. And when we were a kid, we remember hearing people say, if God calls you in the ministry, don't stoop to be a king. And so, Lord, help us to hold our heads high and help us to learn how to enjoy the thing that you've called us to. We pray. Amen. Number one, keep a positive attitude in your ministry. Make it your habit to rejoice. Now, it's easy to drift into the negative. One of the reasons it's easy is because what are we called to do? We're called to work with people who have problems. They have physical problems, and so we go to the hospital. They have emotional problems, and so we counsel with them. They have spiritual problems. We pray with them. So we're working with problems all the time. And if we're not careful, this emphasis on problems can get us down. But we need to keep a positive attitude. One of the things I like to study about World War II, and I like to study about Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill, one of the secrets was he knew how to keep a positive attitude. They tell us that he was often despondent, and he laid in bed much of the time in the mornings, and he was depressed. But when he got out in front of public, it was this: we're going to win. We're victorious. We're going to stop that little German corporal. And so he inspired people. Ronald Reagan was the same way. He could inspire people. Now that's a lesson that maybe our now president could learn to be a little more positive. But anyhow, people are attracted to those who are positive. And if you're going to have your problems, if you're going to be discouraged, do it in private. But when you're in public, be upbeat. Two, choose your battles. Not every battle is worth fighting. And if you fight every battle, you're going to get worn out. You're going to shoot up all your ammunition. John Maxwell, one time I heard him say, let your subordinates win the little ones. Let them win a few. You don't have to win everything. He said, just make sure you win the big ones. And number three, don't let little annoyances eat at you for very long. Commit them to God. Now, there's going to be things that come along that's going to eat at you, that's going to bug you. And people are going to do things in your church that annoy you. But don't feed on it. Don't camp out by it. I've found in my own life that God allows me to be upset for about an hour. Then he says, okay, put on your big boy pants and take that sucker out of your mouth and let's go on with it. Give this problem to me. Don't be dwelling on it. Number four, don't harbor anger or resentment toward your parishioners or coworkers. Be quick to forgive. If you harbor things, it will have a snowball effect. And don't count your offenses. Counting is not a good thing. Peter asked Jesus, he said, should I count to seven? Jesus said, 70 times seven. In other words, don't count. Learn that we all have our quirks. And number five, with a childlike faith, daily and hourly depend on God. Expect God to give you assignments that are too big for you, and expect God to do some miracles. And over and over again, I'm up against things. I think, wow, that's too big for me. And God reminds me, hey, I'm a big God. I can do some big things. You trust me. Number six, remember it is God's church and God's ministry, not your ministry. If we don't remember that, we can get kind of possessive and defensive. And we can try to make this thing go by our own effort. And we burn out. I know the first full time when I became senior pastor, the church had split over voting out the guy ahead of me. And that's usually not a good situation to step into. And so I knew something had happened because when I had my trial message, they had 100. And the first Sunday I was there, they had 59. Now, I thought, where in the world are all these other people? Well, they left. The first Sunday night I was there, the two lay leaders of the church talked to me out in the parking lot and asked me to take a pay cut. That's not a good sign either when you've been there one day. And, well, the church had split. People were worried that, you know, that the church might not be able to make it. We had a mortgage. And I said, in my attitude was, we're going to make this thing go, bless God, or bust a gut trying. Well, that's a good way to get burnout. And I was taking the attitude, this is my church. No, it wasn't my church. It was God's church. And so God's going to help us. Learn to work relaxed. It will increase your longevity and productivity. Now, by nature, I'm a type A personality. And it's easy for type A people to get tense. And sometimes I have to pray and ask God to calm me down. God, help me relax. Sometimes we can wear ourselves out just by getting too uptight. John Wesley said, I would just as soon swear as worry. And because both come from a heart of unbelief. And some people wear themselves worrying. And we need to just say, God, you put me here. It's your church. You called me. You knew what was here before I came. And so, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And I'm not going to get uptight and sweat and worry and waste a lot of time and energy. Number eight. This is big. Increase your expectation of God and decrease your expectation of people. Most of us have it backwards. We expect too much of people and too little of God. And that is a recipe and a formula for failure in the ministry. I had to learn that early on. I was getting angry with my people that I ministered to because they weren't coming through the way I thought they should. One thing we have to remember that we minister to a lot of dysfunctional people. And dysfunctional people are not going to respond the way we want them to. A lot of them have used up all of their energy surviving at home and surviving at work. And when they come to church, they plop themselves down on the pew and their attitude is to say, okay, God, our pastor, bless me if you can. You ever been there? You know what I'm talking about? I remember I had a guy in my church. He worked at Bethlehem Steel. And very brilliant man. He'd been Sunday school superintendent, before I came, and then when I came, he resigned, and he just sat down and wouldn't do anything. Now, this guy, he was in charge of their computer program. He had about 100 people working under him as far as computers. So he wasn't a dummy. But he might as well have been when he came to church, because he did El Zippo, nothing. And I got frustrated. I thought, come on, I need your help. The church split. A whole bunch of the people left. I need your help. You might as well have left too. Except you do put a nice tithe check. But he just quit. And I got frustrated with him. And then the Lord had to show me, this guy is hurting. He's got problems with his marriage. He's got problems with his family. He's got prices at work. And he's just doing good to show up. So love him and appreciate the fact that he shows up and puts his tithe check in. And maybe by and by when he heals, he'll do a little more for the church. So I decreased my expectation of him, and I began to love him more. Number 9, make sure you're not so busy serving God that you don't have time to love him. I call this the Martha syndrome. You know, Jesus was coming to her house, and Martha said, oh boy, you know, the Son of God's coming to my house. We've got to have this wonderful meal. And she was working so hard and getting frustrated, getting angry with her sister. And she was busy serving, but didn't have time to love Jesus. Remember, the greatest commandment is, thou shalt, it's not this, thou shalt serve the Lord with all thy heart. It's thou shalt love, with all thou shalt love him. He wants our love more than he wants our service. And I've been there, and I've seen pastors there who have been working so hard. They're so busy serving God, they don't have time and energy to love him. And ministry gets kind of dry and discouraging when you do that. Find a faithful prayer partner, someone that we can be accountable to pray with us. I remember in my last church, I had a guy who was my prayer partner. And he worked the night shift, and he'd sleep in the morning. And then early afternoon, he'd wake up, and he'd call me. He says, Pastor, what you doing? I knew what he wanted. And Bob and I met many times in the front of the church at the altar, and we had prayer times. Wow, what that did for me. He strengthened me. I had this prayer partner, and he held my hands up. I was able to continue ministering at that church several years longer simply because I had a faithful prayer partner. Cultivate loving relationships with your people. Do stuff that teaches your people that you love them. And preaching a fine sermon does not do that. They say, hey, that's your job. That's what you're getting paid for. That's why we provide this personage. But do some things that show them that you love them. Here's why. If you show them that you love them, and they know it, they'll listen to you better. If you are their friend, and they know that you love you, they know that you love them, they will listen better. I remember I started some discipling groups in my last church. I was pouring a lot of energy into it. And I was forming a bond with my people. And they started listening better. And they said, my pastor, you're becoming a much better preacher. I thought to myself, you're becoming much better listeners. What it was, they saw that I loved them. And they took to heart what I said behind the pulpit. 12, learn to laugh and see the humor in church problems. This will lower stress. And I've seen some people, they're just uptight about everything. Some pastors. And we had a lady in one of our churches. Her name was Alice. And poor Alice. She was the kind that sapped you. You know what I mean? Drained you. And Alice, it was funny. She would play about three different pastors. And whichever pastor showed her the most attention, then she would come to your church during that time. Now, if you quit showing her attention, then she'd try to get another pastor to show her attention. And here's the way she would get your attention. She'd talk about, when she thought she was losing you, then she'd talk about needing to get saved, you know. Boy, this ought to get the pastor's juices going, you know. Here's a person who wants to be saved. No, this was her strategy to keep you on the line and keep you showing her attention. And my wife and I would wink at each other. And one time, she would call about getting saved right before church. You know, a very inopportune time to call. And you're trying to get off the phone with her. And when she thought she was about to lose you, then she wanted to get saved. And my wife, sometimes she'd be talking to her, and she'd say, "Here's my husband." She'd wink at me, and I'd make a dirty face at her. And but we had a joke about it, and it lowered the stress. Learn how to joke about some of these things. 13, keep your spouse and family happy. And do some things just for their benefit. 14, take time to relax and vacation, but don't overdo it. I hear some people say, "Well, we just don't have time for vacation." Well, that's probably a mistake. You do need a break. You do need to get away from your work. And a lot of times, if I can get away, then when I come back, the fog's kind of cleared, and I get some insights, and I can work better. Don't expect life to be fair. A lot of people get upset and annoyed at the unfairness of life. Some pastors get upset. Another preacher on the district gets promoted to a church that's bigger and better than theirs, and that pastor isn't as deserving. Remember this. You're working for God, not for people. God's keeping the score. God's going to hand out the rewards, and he's going to do it right. Life isn't fair. And if you're looking for it to be fair, you're going to be upset much of the time. Let the Lord fight your battles for you. He wants to. You remember when the children of Israel were standing before the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were behind them, and the Lord said, "Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, for you will not need to fight today, for the Lord your God will fight for you." I had that happen to me. In one of my churches, I had five couples. I don't recommend that. I hope none of you have five couples on your board. And all you need is about two or three of them to get together, and they've got the thing tied up. And they were tying things up. And I said, "Lord, if I'm going to continue ministering in this church, I'm going to have a different board." And I was trying to figure out how in the world we could work this out, you know, administratively. And I was thinking of this and thinking of this. And the Lord said, "You leave that to me. You pray about it. And let me do the fighting." So, I was doing a lot of praying about it. And it came time for nominations. And I was blown away. One of the persons that was a couple that was giving me problems said, "You know what? I don't think we should have couples on the board." I'm thinking, did I just hear what I thought I heard? I wanted to shout, "Praise the Lord," but I just, yeah, that's probably a good idea. And then another person had been giving me problems and said, "You know what? I don't know that I want to be on the board next year." I'm thinking, did I just hear right? Praise the Lord. I came back from that board meeting. I told my wife, I said, honey, you won't believe what happened. I said, the Lord did it. Incredible. And that whole power structure that had been tied in my hands voluntarily chose to dissolve it. And I just go, I'm saying, that's probably a good idea. Yeah, I'll go along with that. And afterwards, I think they thought that I probably did something. Well, I did. I prayed. And the Lord fought my battles. Let the Lord fight some of your battles for you. That's what he's in the business of doing. Learn to be generous. It will come back to you. When I was a pastor, and even now as a president, I try to be generous. And it was interesting. My business manager told me, he said, you know what? Been looking at the records, and our cash flow is $20,000 ahead of what it was a year ago this time. I thought, well, that's good. And then it dawned in on me. We had just given $20,000 away to help someone else in need. And I thought, wow, what a coincidence. No, I don't think it was a coincidence. God rewards generosity. Learn to be generous. Number 18, remember that happiness is a choice. If we are not happy, we need to choose to be happy. I think it was Abraham Lincoln said, I reckon we're all about as happy as we want to be. You know that some people enjoy being unhappy. You ever met those kind? And choose to be happy. And you say, well, I'm having trouble in that area. Well, you're looking at the wrong things. Start looking at the good things. I think about Philippians chapter 4. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Here's a guy in prison waiting to find out if he's going to have his head chopped off. And he's telling people on the outside that have their freedom how to be happy. And but he says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. And so choose to be happy. 19, be an encourager. Look for ways to encourage your people. And the neat thing is, as we bless other people, we get blessed. I found out that encouragement is kind of like a boomerang. You pitch it out, and it comes back to you. And then, be flexible. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. Some people like structure, and a certain amount of structure is important. But as you know in the ministry, people don't always die at the most opportune times. You know, about the time you're on vacation, you're 1,000 miles away, and a key person in your church chooses, well, they probably didn't, but they die. And you say, oh, man, it's messing up my vacation. Well, learn to be flexible. And some things that we thought would work won't. In that case, you have to drop back and punt and go for plan B. It may be that plan B was God's plan after all. If you can be flexible, you will survive longer and be happier in the ministry. Well, these are just a few things, and I hope something on that list can be of help. And I enjoy the ministry. I've been at it up to my ears from day one. The only thing I might, sometimes I'm busier than I want to be. But that's better than just sitting around doing nothing. Our Father, we thank you for these here that are involved in ministry. And Lord, ministry seems to go in cycles. And sometimes we see the fruit from our ministry, and other times we go through a dry spell. But we pray that you will help each one here, whether they're full-time or whether they're a lay person. We pray that you will help them to enjoy the ministry. Enjoy what you've called them to do. And Lord, if maybe they're a little bit out of balance, and maybe they're focusing on the wrong things or whatever. Help them to find the balance so that they can enjoy the thing you've called them to do. And we think about what David said. He said, I delight to do thy will, O God. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Thank you, Lord, for calling us. Now help us to enjoy it the way you want us to, we pray. Amen.